From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming via voanews.id.
Listener, how are you today? It's nice to meet you again with me, Putri, to accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we would like to present some information, started from news, highlight of the week, and so forth. Also, there are Indonesian pop songs. Well, listener, I will begin with news. Stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo honors Indonesia's fallen heroes on Heroes Day. Trade Minister committed to maintaining Indonesia's trade balance. Indonesia U19 national team leads and the top scorer in Group K. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo acted as an inspector of the ceremony to commemorate National Heroes Days at the Kalibata National Heroes Memorial Park in South Jakarta on Sunday to honor Indonesia's fallen heroes. Vice President Ma'ruf Amin, along with several members of the Indonesian Onward Cabinet and top government officials, joined the president at the commemorative event. President Joko Widodo laid a wreath of flowers at the Memorial Park's monument and prayed for the fallen heroes, and Religious Affairs Minister Fahrul Razi recited prayers at the end of the event. The National Heroes Day, which is commemorated to honor all Indonesian fighters killed and injured in the heroic Battle of Surabaya, East Java on November the 10, 1945, is also celebrated across the archipelago. The War of Independence in the past reminded Indonesian people that the perceived independence today does not come just like that, but requires extraordinary struggle and sacrifice from the predecessors of the country. The spirit shown by these heroes and freedom fighters should continue to be developed in the heart of all Indonesian citizens. Minister of Social Affairs of the Republic of Indonesia, in a written address read by the head of RRI Mataram Public Broadcasting Agency, Teguh Yuli Astuti, at the Heroes Day's commemorative ceremony in Mataram, West Nusa Tenggara on November 10, today, said that commemoration of Heroes Days would raise awareness to love the country more and protect it until the end. Indonesian Trade Minister Agus Suparmanto remains resolute to maintaining the country's balance of trade and controlling imports in line with the mandates of President Joko Widodo. The two mandates are, first, maintaining the balance of trade through the conclusion of trade agreements and conducting a study to proffer benefits to the national economy, and second, selectively controlling imports by prioritizing the imports of raw and auxiliary materials for the purpose of export goods and investment. To realize the two mandates, the Trade Ministry adopts three main policies, namely maintaining the trade of balance by stepping up non-oil, non-gas exports, strengthening the domestic market by setting the food inflation target of 3%, and simplifying bureaucracy supported by professional and competent human resources. A total of 9 countries participated in the Lion Dance Championship, which took place in the Kelayang Beach Tourist Area, Belitung, on Saturday. the tournament called Belitung Cup Asiana Lion Dance Championship 2019 was held by the Liong Barongsai Association of Indonesia and the Belitung Regency Government. It aims, among other things, to encourage Belitung Island tourism, which is currently increasingly in demand. Countries that send their athletes included Vietnam, Malaysia, Thailand, and host Indonesia, which also featured local teams from the Bangka Belitung Island province. The competition on Saturday competed traditional numbers, then on Sunday there are stilted numbers. This championship attracted the interest of many spectators from both the local community and the supporters of the participants from abroad. They also took advantage of their presence in Belitung to explore various tourist destinations on the island. This Asian Lion Dance Championship on Belitung Islands is the second after the first one was held in Thailand. The association chairperson Nurdin Purnomo said Belitung Island was very potential for the development of sport tourism. This news broadcast is coming your way from Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesia's U19 national team led the standings and top scorer list in the U19 Asian Cup qualifying group K2020 until Saturday. Indonesia firmly topped the standings after beating Hong Kong 4-0 in the match at the Bung Karno Madya Stadium in Jakarta on Friday. The goals in the match were scored by Amiruddin Bagas, Muhammad Fajar Fatur, David Maulana, and Amiruddin Bagus. On the same day, North Korea defeated Timor Leste with a similar score 4-0 thanks to goals from Raham Hyun, Ri Kum Hyun, Kim Choi Guk, and Ryo Jo Guk. As reported by Antara on Saturday, the result made Indonesia lead Group K standings by collecting 6 points from 2 matches. Indonesian men's double badminton player Marcus Fernaldi Gideon Kevin Sanjaya Sukamulyo stepped into the final round of the Fuzhou China Open 2019 badminton tournament held at the Haixia Olympic Sports Center, Fuzhou, People's Republic of China. In the semi-final match that took place on Saturday, according to the World Badminton Federation page, both players, nicknamed Minions, toppled the Indian men's double Satvi Sairaj Rankireddy and Chirag Shetty in 2 games of 40 minutes with a score of 21-16, 22-20. Last item. National automotive business players who are members of the Indonesian Automotive Industries Association, Gaikindo, said that President Joko Widodo's government policy to encourage biodiesel from palm oil is very appropriate. The association chairperson, Johannes Nagoi, said in Jakarta on Saturday that the mandatory biodiesel 20% or B20 was a huge success and that next year it would be increased again to B30. He added, in the field of biodiesel, Indonesia is leading. Other countries are only 7%. Indonesia is 20% now. According to him, so far there is no significant problem in vehicles using B20, except for a related water content that need to be kept below 500. Johannes Nagoe is of the opinion that the national oil industry has a bright prospect because this commodity is proven to be used as biodiesel mixture. To end the news, here are the main points once again. President Joko Widodo honors Indonesia's fallen heroes on Heroes Day. Trade Minister committed to maintaining Indonesia's trade balance. Indonesia U19 national team leads and the top scorer in Group K. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, from Indonesia to the world. Today's spotlight is on government goods and services procurement must move the economy. In the midst of government efforts to improve infrastructure development, effective budget allocation is a challenge that must be faced. Therefore, the Government Goods and Services Procurement Policy Agency is expected to be able to proactively accelerate the budget expenditure process in order to be able to move the economy. President Joko Widodo stated it in his remarks at the 2019 National Procurement National Coordination Meeting in Jakarta on Wednesday. The president reminded that the procurement of government goods and services must be on time. A slight delay can reduce the thrust of the state budget and expenditure in national and regional economic growth. President Joko Widodo also stressed spending on procurement of goods and services must have a significant contribution to the development of the domestic industry. Regarding economic improvement, although the role of the private sector is still very dominant, the president explained the role of the state budget is still very important. Therefore, the procurement of goods and services is an important factor capable of driving the economic growth both in national and regional levels, especially areas with minimal involvement of the private sector. Meanwhile, head of the Government Goods and Services Procurement Policy Agency, Roni Dwi Susanto, in his speech explained the National Coordination Meeting, which was held on the 6th and 7th November, was an annual activity that could be used as a forum to convey activities, achievements, and work results. The National Coordination Meeting, which was attended by 4,000 participants, was also a means to give appreciation to the players in the procurement of government goods and services. Roni Dwi Susanto revealed the Goods Services Procurement Work Unit, which was previously only considered a tender, now plays an active role in strategic planning. He says the work unit had transformed from what had previously been only regarded as an administrative work agent and was now one of the tools in order to achieve development goals. He said the purpose of procurement has a variety of functions, including increasing the use of domestic products, increasing the role of micro, small, and medium enterprises, enhancing the role of national business actors, supporting the implementation of research and the use of research products and services. In addition, it must be able to increase the participation of creative industries, encourage economic equality, and encourage sustainable development. Well, that was this week's Spotlights on Government Goods and Services Procurement Must Move the Economy. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Hello, welcome back to Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. I'll begin with November the 10th, 1940, the Francia earthquake. The 1940 Francia earthquake, also known as the Bucharest 1940 earthquake, occurred on Sunday, November the 10th, 1940, in Romania at 3:39 a.m. local time, when most residents were at home. An earthquake on the Mohmann magnitude scale is the strongest earthquake recorded in the 20th century in Romania. The quake destroyed central and southern Moldova and Wallachia. The estimated death toll is 1,000, while 4,000 are believed to have been injured, mostly in Moldova. Turning to November the 10th, 1945, the Battle of Surabaya. The Battle of Surabaya was a battle of Indonesian soldiers and pro-independence militias against the British and British Indian troops. The climax occurred on November the 10, 1945. This battle was the first war of Indonesian forces with foreign troops after the proclamation of independence. It became one of the biggest and fiercest battles in the history of the Indonesian National Revolution, which is a national symbol of Indonesia's resistance to colonialism. After this battle, the support of the Indonesian people and an international community for the struggle for Indonesian independence became stronger. November the 10th is celebrated every year as Heroes Day in Indonesia. I'll conclude with November 10, 1975. Resolution 3379 issued by the General Assembly of the United Nations. Resolution 3379 was issued by the General Assembly of the United Nations in 1975. It states that Zionism is a form of racism. This resolution passed with 72 votes in favor, 35 rejects, and 32 abstentions. The 72 votes that supported it included 20 Arab countries, 12 other countries with a Muslim majority, including Turkey, which recognized Israel at that time, 12 communist countries, 14 non-Muslim African countries, and 14 other countries, including Brazil, India, Mexico, and Portugal. Well, that was Today in History from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our podcast. And now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to read a letter sent by Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. He was listening to our podcast on October 6, 2019 at 13:30 until 1400 hours UTC. Hello, Mr. Muhammad Akil Bashir. Thank you for sending audio of our broadcast as your reception report. I think it is good. Thank you. Special for you, we will play a beautiful song. Enjoy the song.
Pintu hati yang kau tutup, bolehkah ku buka? Sekedar melangkah masuk dan coba menyapa. Usah lagi kau simpan kecewa karena dia. Beri dirimu kesempatan untuk menyamai cinta.
Membelai
mestinya kau bahagia.
You are listening to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Next segment that we'll present is My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today on Sunday, November the 10th is entitled Mandalika MotoGP Circuit Will Be Completed on Schedule. Zainuddin Amali, the Minister of Youth and Sports, ensured that the construction of the Mandalika MotoGP circuit in Lombok, West Nusa Tenggara, will be completed on schedule by the end of 2020. Zainuddin Amali said in a press conference at the Ministry of Youth and Sport office in Jakarta on Thursday after a meeting with PT Persero Indonesia Tourism Development Corporation as state-owned enterprises developer and manager of the Mandalika tourism area. The minister said that he had asked about readiness for holding the 2021 MotoGP at the same time asking for their commitment for the international racing tournament to continue. Meanwhile, Abdul Bar M. Mansur, as director of the company, did not deny that it must race against time so that the circuit construction could be completed by the end of 2020. Regarding the official MotoGP schedule of Mandalika, Abdul Bar Mansur could not provide more detailed information because Dorna Sports would only release its schedule in August 2020. Furthermore, if the circuit is completed in 2020, a pre-season trial competition will be held in February or March 2021. Meanwhile, the governor of West Nusa Tenggara, Zulkifli Mansyah, said the 2020 target will be completed as an encouragement or motivation to complete the construction of the circuit, and at the same time, it can solve the problems that still exist in the process of building a circuit in the village of Kuta, Central Lombok Regency. Previously, while reviewing and touring the Mandalika circuit construction site in the Mandalika Special Economic Zone last October, the CEO of Dorna Sport SL, Carmelo Espeleta, claimed to be satisfied after seeing the progress of the construction of the Mandalika circuit. In fact, he is optimistic that after the circuit has been completed, the Mandalika circuit will become the most beautiful highway circuit in the world. Besides being pleased with the progress of building the circuit, which will have a track length of 4.31 kilometers and containing 17 bends, Dorna Sport CEO Carmelo Espeleta is optimistic that the construction of the Mandalika circuit can be completed according to a predetermined schedule so that the implementation of the Mandalika MotoGP can be held in 2021. Well, that was My Indonesia Today on Mandalika MotoGP circuit will be completed on schedule. I'm Anna Trijaya Kasih, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia.
Now we'll reply an email from our regular listener, M. Abdul Razak in Bangladesh. Thank you for your email, Mr. M. Abdul Razak. We are really sorry because at this moment we cannot fulfill your requests. Thank you. As appreciation, we will play another beautiful song to you. Here is the song.
Kita yang tak terasa. Namun lama sudah ku coba,
ku coba
memahami kamu dengan sifatmu. Mungkin kini hanya aku yang ada di benakku. Dan mungkin memang tak terjelas. Dan kini aku ingin kamu, ingin kita.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world in Jakarta. Listener, now we'll present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, welcome back to Indonesian Wonder. Today I will invite you to travel to the city of Surabaya in the province of East Jawa. Today, November the 10th, 74 years ago, there was a heroic event in Surabaya where the people fought against the Allied and Dutch troops who wanted to recolonize Indonesia. The battle, which was the first war between Indonesian forces and foreign troops after the proclamation of Indonesian independence, called the Battle of Surabaya, and it claimed many lives, both fighters and civilians. Therefore, to commemorate the patriotism of the fighters and the people of Surabaya, November the 10th is designated as Heroes Days in Indonesia. On this Heroes Days, I'm inviting you to visit two buildings. The first is Tugu Pahlawan or Heroes Monument, and the second is the November 10 Museum in Surabaya. Both were built to commemorate and honor the independence fighters who died in the 10th of November battle. First, let's go to the Heroes Monument. This monument is located in the center of the city of Surabaya, precisely on Jalan Pahlawan Surabaya near the East Jawa Governor's Office. The Heroes Monument is one of Surabaya's icons as the city of heroes. This monument stands on an area of 1.3 hectares with a height of 41.15 meters and a diameter of 3.1 meters. The Hero Monument is in the form of an inverted nail with the center line below larger than the center line above it. The body of this monument is in the form of 10 arches of cannelures and is divided into 11 segments. In the area of Heroes Monument, there is a statue of former President Sukarno and his deputy Mohammad Hatta while he was reading the Proclamation of Independence among tall pillars that resembled the ruins of a building. On these pillars, there are also writings generating the spirit of independence that resembles graffiti, actually. To save historical objects related to the struggle of the people of Surabaya, a museum was built in this area in 1991. Inaugurated in 2000 by President Abdurrahman Wahid, it is called the November 10th Museum. It consists of two floors. The architecture of the building looks unique because it resembles a pyramid. In the middle of the pyramid, there is a statue of three young men carrying bamboo spears, which was considered as a deadly weapon at that time. Entering the museum, you will be treated to a diorama along the entrance. On the wall of the entrance, there are names of heroes written in copper plates. Arriving at the ground floor, you will see photos of the November 10 battle in Surabaya. There is also a diorama of the Surabaya people's atmosphere when listening to Bung Tomo's heroic speech. In the middle of the room, there is a statue of the Surabaya people in battle. Up to the second floor, you are treated to many static dioramas in the main room and dynamic dioramas in other rooms. In the main room, many personal items belonging to Bung Tomo are displayed, such as a dagger and Bung Tomo's rifle, Bung Tomo's radio, and even Bung Tomo's handwriting. On the other side, there were various kinds of short-barreled and long-barreled rifles used by the fighters. In a static diorama room, you will see a diorama accompanied by the sound of music and speeches and colored lights. The atmosphere here feels more alive. After observing all the collection of the November 10th Museum, don't forget to buy Tugu Pahlawan trinkets and Surabaya themed crafts when you want to leave. That was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder with the topic of the Heroes Monument and the Monument of November the 10th Museum. Tomorrow, we will meet again with another interesting topic. This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta from Indonesia to the world.
Now we continue to reply an email sent by Mr. D. Sarkar in India. Hello, Mr. Sarkar. How are you? Long time we do not receive your email. Now we are really glad to know that you still monitor our broadcast. Well, Mr. Sarkar, special for you and listener Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, we will play another beautiful song for our regular listener around the world. Enjoy the song and happy listening.
Sejuta puisi meyakinkanmu membalas cinta.
jiwamu mengetuku, ajak kamu bahasa perasaan, hingga hatimu tak lagi membeku. Haruskah ku mati karenamu, terkubur dalam
listener, here is Musalani that inform you about interesting events that occurred in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, Voice of Indonesia. Today's Musalani is about Indonesian team won Zoo Hackathon in Kinabalu, Malaysia. Artificial intelligence or AI to track protected animal smuggling created by Indonesian team named Pangolin won the Zoo Hackathon 2019. This competition was held by US Department of State in Kinabalu, Malaysia. Team leader Lintang Suwita to Antara News Agency in Jakarta on Thursday, November 7 said, the team became the winner in Zoo Hackathon 2019 Kinabalu with AI-based software named Pangolin. The AI-based software that is able to extract key information from news articles help analysis by reducing data collecting time by collecting information without reading all of them one by one. With five others, Lintang successfully made the software prototype only in 48 hours, as demanded by the competition committee. The competition was joined by 17 teams with 85 participants. The winner will join the final of Zoo Hackathon in January 2020, which will bring contest winners from 16 cities across the globe. Zoo Hackathon is an award by U.S. Department of State to promote technological solutions and to increase awareness against rare animal trade in the world. This year, Zoo Hackathon is held in 16 cities, namely Bogota, Boston, Cleveland, and San Diego in USA, Cairo, Entebbe, Uganda, Gaborone, Botswana, Geneva, Helsinki, Hong Kong, Manila, New Delhi, and Calcutta in India, Kinabalu City in Malaysia, Sao Paulo in Brazil, and Vienna in Austria. Well, listener, that was Misalani for today about Indonesian team won Zoo Hackathon in Kinabalu, Malaysia. I'm Prisa Fidela. Thank you for listening and see you next time.
Siksa sepi, jangan kau pergi. Bila untuk bersama tiada jalannya, tetap setia. Lelah ku jalan, malam ku gelap sepi. See you.
You are still tuned to the Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Listener, the next segment is Music Corner about music information in Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listener, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Music Corner. Today we will discuss a song titled Inikah Cinta, sung by Soundwave. The beginning of the emergence of Soundwave in the Indonesian music industry in 2016 began with the release of the first single titled Salah, belonging to the Portrait Group, which the single was able to anesthetize the ears of music lovers in Indonesia. Soundwave consists of Rini and Javin, who have the extraordinary experience and ability. Rini was one of the champions of the Indonesian Idol 2007 event, while Javin was the 2009 Indonesian Beatbox Competition champion. After a vacuum of almost 2 years, in the middle of 2019, Soundwave released the latest single titled Inikah Cinta, which was popularized by vocal group ME in 1998. The song describes the story of a man who was feeling the beauty of being in love. He felt longing, happiness, and a desire to always be with her who is loved. And listener, here is Inikah Cinta by Soundwave. Happy listening.
Saat ku jumpa dirinya di suatu suasana, terasa getaran dalam dada. Ku coba mendekatinya, ku tatap dirinya. Oh, dia sungguh mempesona. Ingin aku menyapanya, menyapa dirinya, bercanda tawa dengan dirinya. Namun apa yang ku rasa, aku tak kuasa. Aku tak tahu harus berkata apa. Inikah namanya cinta? Oh, inikah cinta? Cinta pada jumpa pertama. Inikah rasanya cinta? Oh, inikah cinta? Terasa bahagia saat jumpa dengan dirinya. Ku jumpa dia berikutnya, suasana berbeda. Oh, getaran itu masih ada. Aku dekati dirinya, ku tetap wajahnya. Oh, dia tetap mempesona. Ingin aku menyapanya, menyapa dirinya, bercanda tawa dengan dirinya. Namun apa yang ku rasa, aku tak kuasa. Aku tak tahu harus berkata apa.
Voice of Indonesia.
Well, listener, it is time for me to sign off now. Stay tuned with us in Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the World at frequency 3325 kHz and www.voinews.id. Don't forget to check out our other social media accounts such as Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, and Instagram, voice.of.indonesia. Or you can also send your email to voi@voinews.id. I'm Putri Safira Adela. See you on the next English program.